Blog Talk Radio.
This goes out to my partner that passed away, Eugene Reckler, Robert Squirrel Lester, Pretty Old Joe. I remember, oh yeah, the signs of springtime. There were birds, music, everywhere. Some of us play, oh, and some of us cry. Can't you see? Oh, can't you see the tears in my eyes? She's what I had dreamed of. She's all that I think of, yeah. Woo. 10 feet tall. Oh, I was riding so high. What eyes of a child,
eyes of a child,
shining so bright.
Yes.
Can't wait. Come on, y'all.
Cold, this day.
Down below, down below. Down below, down below, down below, down below. Thank you. Thank you. You're so beautiful, huh? I remember, oh yeah, the signs of springtime. I tried to keep the past behind me, but she said to remind me she's gone. She's what I had dreamed of. She's all that I think of, yeah. Come on, the gun, sir. Everybody sing. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all.
Oh, this day of my life.
Oh, woo.
It was a cold.
This legendary supergroup, formed in the late 50s as two separate groups, the Chanteurs and the Desideros, joined forces in the early 60s to become Marshall and the Highlights. In 1964, they changed their name in tribute to their hometown, Chicago, and became the Shylights. The hits started coming in 1971 and 1972 with Have You Seen Her and Old Girl, each selling over 1 million copies. In 2000, they were inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Foundation. In 2005, the Vocal Group Hall of Fame. And in 2013, the R&B Music Hall of Fame. Their music has been heard around the world, as well as movies. In 1996, they appeared in Original Gangsters, Only the Strong Survive in 2002, and recently, the movie trailer for the Disney picture Finding Dory. They continue to wow audiences worldwide.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, featuring The Notations, live on Tribe Family Channel. The Notations is an American soul group formed at high school in Chicago, Illinois, in the late 1960s. The group recorded for Tad Records early in their career. At a point in their career, Syl Johnson brought the Notations to Twin Night, based in Chicago. The first million-dollar seller was a song produced by Syl Johnson entitled I'm Still Here. Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the Shylights, good evening, and how are you, my brother?
And a pleasant good evening. What a great show we're going to have tonight.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. The Notations, Cliff Curry and Eric Rapier. Say hello to Marshall Thompson.
Hey, my brother. Hey. How are you?
Hey. How y'all doing?
Man.
Welcome to the show.
Y'all, glad to be on.
It's a fine thing having you all on this show tonight. A lot of people will hear you tonight, buddy.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. Now, for our listening audience around the globe, Tribe Family Channel is brought to you by Gumbo for the Soul International. I am Beverly Black, the creator of Tribe Family Channel, Gumbo for the Soul, and Soul School Music. And it is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to be the sidekick of Marshall Thompson on Soul School Music. The Notations are going to bring us up close and personal to their journey through music. So, gentlemen, Welcome to Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. We want to start off by getting a little history. So we're going to do this roundtable style. Gentlemen, starting with Eric, then Cliff, and Marshall Thompson will interject as he sees fit. Where are you from and who are your musical influences?
Well, I'm from the south suburbs of Chicago. I grew up in the south side. And, you know, I've been around. I used to have a local group called Eric and Smoke. We did very well locally. But I've opened up for Jeffrey Osborne, Ray Goodman and Brown, Patrice Rushen, the Dells. I even did a stint opening up for Marshall a long while back. He probably don't remember that. But Enchantment, Bobby Blue Bland, just naming a few of them. We recently just opened up for, we did a show together actually with Blackstreet and Eddie Holman as Notations. But my musical influences basically come from my, believe it or not, my mom, my mother, my grandmother, a couple of uncles and an aunt. They could sing the roof off of a house. And, you know, I've been singing there since I can remember crawling. So I don't know. Yeah, but
wow.
In church right now, you know, I'm doing thing in church. I sing in the choir, Victory Apostolic Choir. Pastor Singleton is a pastor, so, you know, I always have to give God his. So,
amen to that.
Yeah.
Now, mentioned a whole lot of names that Marshall Thompson, you know, he is the godfather of vocal groups. So he was throwing out a lot of names right there, Marshall Thompson. He weighed in right there. But you know what? Nothing weighs in like God and giving him his praise and glory. And so your musical influences started pretty much at home in the church. And as you branched out from there, where did you begin singing? Well, wait. Hold that thought. Let me go to Cliff. Welcome to Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. Now, where are you from, and who are your musical influences?
All right. Well, I grew up born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. I grew up in an area called Inglewood, and I graduated from a high school named Parker High, which was a pretty popular high school at the time. I was in school with such people as Jeanette Hutchison, Wanda from The Emotions. We all went to school together. We were in the same class, some of the same classes as well. And
that was my girls right there.
So were my schoolmates, exactly, sweethearts. And my music influence was, I sang in church for a good while until things began to happen with them still here, and I wasn't able to do it on a regular basis, and we started traveling and doing shows and things. And I found out at an early age I could write.
Hold that thought, because you just dropped some gems right there. Marcia, did you hear that? Now, he's deluding that he had to quit school. Things is taking off for the Notations, and he can't stay in school? Come on now.
No, not school. No, I mean, I was singing in the choir. Let me straighten that out for you. I was singing in the choir at church for a long, long time. And then once things began to really happen, where we had to travel, then I could no longer be in the choir because we were traveling. Oh no, I
can't
school.
Well, no, I'm not. I didn't think you didn't finish, but it sounds like, you know, you needed a permission slip, a hall pass to leave school and go. You know, I mean, come on. Wow, what a fascinating beginning. Now, so you're all from Chicago, then. So this is Chicago's finest.
That's right. Chicago's always been huge in the music industry, always. As far back as I can remember, Chicago, I would say, is the dad, really, of the whole thing. So many groups came out of the city, out of Chicago.
Amen. Well, let me ask you this. So you both have the background and the foundation of the church. Now, who are your And Eric, you mentioned who your influences were in terms of who you've worked with, but who were you listening to in the home? Who were you mimicking in high school? You know, were you singing, you know, after school or on the street corner or, you know, at the glee club or in the marching band? Who were you mimicking?
Okay, I can tell you one thing. Go ahead, Eric.
I think all of those really, but you know, in the time when we came up, there was always somebody singing on each corner or around the house. Everybody was singing. So
which
I
corners?
Was, you know, was,
we want the gems. Which corners? What
well,
corner?
Know,
who?
I actually came up. I came up in a town, a real small town that's becoming more popular, but it's called Robbins, Illinois. And I was around there watching, and I saw, you know, Marshall when he was a teenager. I'm watching him, and I'm learning from guys like that. And Garland Green, you know, that's like my son's godfather, you know. So I'm around these people all the time, and I'm constantly learning and watching and doo-wopping. I was 9 years old, and I felt like I was doo-wopping myself. You know, so it was,
all right. All right. Now let me ask you this. Because you are dropping gems. Okay, so you've been around Marshall Thompson that long, and were you in the drum on the drill team with him?
No.
Did you go to school?
No.
Okay.
No,
well, let me ask you why I'm asking that. I really want to know, did you know Emmett Till?
I did not know him personally, but of course we all know of him. Know what was going
right.
on. But,
right.
Yeah, but not personally.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I interviewed his family, and Marshall Thompson was in class with Emmett Till and had given us a firsthand account of his personality and how he was, you know, kind of comical and a cool cat. But I don't want to veer off track, so who was singing on these street corners? And what
right,
were you singing?
I can come in there. On the block that I lived on, which was 65th and Green. Green was the name of the street. And there was this street light right at the end of the corner of 65th. And at least 4 days a week, we were out there singing under that light, right on the corner. Sometimes people would pass by and they'd stop and listen. Or we were sitting on my front porch, and there was always some singing going. In high school, same thing. There was always talent shows every year before graduation. Before school was out during the summer, there was always a big talent show, and Emotions was in that show and a lot of other groups, and we always participated. We won quite a few times. There was always singing going on all the time, and on the street corners, anywhere we could. And I'll tell you what we used to do. In between classes, when the bell would ring, we would always run down to the hallway in between the doors where the harmony really ring, and we'd stand down there and sing. So it was always singing going on, always.
All right now, now that's what I'm saying. Drop the gems. Tell me what's going on. Don't skirt around the issue now. This is what this is about. So now you formed the Notations are formed in high school. What high school is it formed? Who are the members, and how did that come about? And the rotation for our listening audience, so everyone can catch the voices, Eric Ray Pierre of the Notations is going first, and then Cliff Curry is following up. Marshall Thompson will be interjecting, and I am Beverly Black, the sidekick on Soul School Music. All right, Eric, so go ahead.
All right, well, you know, Cliff can take the history from the start because he was there with, well, Cliff, you can tell the names that were actually in the beginning who actually formed that group in what high school.
All right. Pass the baton.
Okay.
Go ahead,
well,
Cliff.
Pass the baton. Okay, we're coming in. Myself and a gentleman named LaFelle Matthews, and his high school name called him Tiny. That was my right hand from grammar school all the way through. We played football together. We did everything together. In 1962, we formed a group and the Notations, and that's when it got formed. Him and I formed it. So I'm the founder. He was the co-founder. And, you know, every day I think about it. Every time we do a show, to me, he's always, like, right there on that stage with me. You know, he passed away in 02. Yeah.
In 02.
So
okay,
the,
so
yeah, when the group
so
formed.
Say his full name. I'm sorry
his
to cut you off. What is his
full okay. His full name was LaThell Matthews.
LaThell Matthews?
No, LaThell. LaThell, like LaThell Matthews. And so it was LaThell Matthews. Okay, L-L-A. L-L-A-L-S-E, LaThell Matthews, M-A-T-T-H-E-W-S.
Okay.
And
his nickname is Tiny.
Tiny, yes, that was his nickname.
All right, rest in peace,
and
Mr.
I will tell you this about
Matthews.
Him. I will tell you this, he was the choreographer for the group. He was very light on his feet, and that was his expertise for the group. Then I had another gentleman that came from another school, which was Dunbar. And that was a pretty popular school, and his name was James Stroud and myself. So the beginning was LaThell Matthews, Clifford Curry, and James Stroud. That was the beginning of the notation.
All right, now let's go back to Tiny. Most people that have the nickname Tiny weren't Tiny. Was he Tiny?
He was not.
He was huge, huh?
He wasn't huge.
All right. Okay.
He wasn't tiny either. Let's put it this way. If you play football, you know you have some kind of weight on it. So, no. But
okay.
He
so he was weighing real... in, but he wasn't tiny.
No, no. But
okay.
He was real, right. Real light. He was real light on his feet. And he could handle that dancing. Really light on his feet.
All right, all right. We had some Fred Astaire in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
So then. All right, that sounds good. This is rife with history. Okay, so it's the three of you, and you come together, you're at high school, okay, and take it from there.
So we formed the group together, and we started doing all of the different kind of shows around to keep ourselves out there, to be heard anywhere we could, any talent shows, anything that we could get involved with, just to be heard. All groups do that. And, of course,
okay, wait. Okay, pin that. Okay, pin that. Now, let me go over here to the Godfather, because while y'all are trying to be heard, let me see if you were heard. All right, so Godfather.
All right.
All right, so when did you first hear of the notations? Because they're all over Chicago trying to do the thing in these talent shows. We know the Jackson 5 came through and cleaned house at the, you know, apex of these talent shows. They shut that down. I don't think y'all had talent shows after the Jackson 5.
Yeah.
When did you hear the notations, Godfather?
Well, when I was taking the Jackson 5 down around to Beale Street and Bonanza playing Michael Jackson and him all over those places, Notations was coming in, getting ready to set up their thing. They was doing a great job then, and they had to get with a major company. We was waiting on them to get with a major company to get their stuff out there like they did, and they landed up with a great, great company. We were some great people. And put their song out. And next thing you know, they was on their way. And Cliff came in, the lead singer, came in with a very talented song, I'm Still Here, which stormed Chicago like crazy. Everybody in the whole city had the record. I mean, everybody. And I knew he was on his way to do what he had to do as well. And well, you had the right guys. You had the same band. Members that played on all my hit records, playing with his stuff. See, they spread all the songs and all the music around town with the same great producers and great promoters, and also the greatest musicians in the city of Chicago. So I knew it was only a matter of time for him to land on the right record, and he did.
Wow, wow, wow. Now, let me ask the notations. Did you cross paths with Carl Davis by any chance?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely.
What was that like?
Oh, it was fun. We were all of us was like a big family.
like a big family, just like Motown. We had our own family. They had a family. We had a big family. So we all would go down to Brunswick, and we did a lot of shows with Jackie. Jackie Wilson was a good friend. Of course, Marshall and them. Marshall and I go all the way back to when they were the highlights before the season was put there.
Come on now.
So we, right. And so we were like a big family. You know, we were all like a big family. We were close. There was artistics over there with them, and so we were a huge family. We were a big family. So yeah, we knew Paul very well.
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, I'm still here. Okay, so the first $1 million seller. Now, I have not had my $1 million seller yet, so I don't know how to react. I probably will act a fool first. All the screaming, everything that comes with that. But when I get my mind right, I need to take action. So now let's paint the picture for me as to you're coming out of high school, you formed the band, you're going all over Chicago, everywhere, traveling, okay, you're dressing, obviously, with the musical influences of Chicago and the whole, you know, Chicago style. I know y'all, and I've seen you on YouTube and on the internet. I'm looking at record albums and what have you. So you have that style. You have that polished act. You're traveling. You're young. How did you maintain focus? And take me back to the home life. Like, how did your home life, the people in your life, react to the changes and this new journey that's taken place? Because you started in the church. Now, how did they accept the music that you crossed over to? Was it that mess? Did it become, was it that hippity hop, Wango had his stuff in his house, or how was it accepted music wise? What were they calling it back then? Bebop and all of that. How was it accepted, and how did you transition from home to get out in the world and travel like that?
Okay, you go first on that, and I'll take second.
Well, you know, well, for me, as far as the travel and the transition from the music, the different styles of music, in fact, in the household that I grew up in, grandmother was very, she played piano, and she was all about church and gospel, you know. And
Eric, let me stop you for 1 second. I'm hearing an echo, so I want to ask you to turn the volume down on your phone a little bit. I used to do troubleshooting, and so I'm perceiving that if you turn the volume down on your phone a little bit, that echo may go away.
Okay.
All right, now go ahead, try again. So grandmother was strict. Did you call her Big Mama, or did you call her grandmother, or what?
Grandma. She was Big Mama, but it was Grandma.
All right, so Grandma was strict.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. Let me see what's going on here. Make sure
no, you're
okay.
Good. I can hear you. I can hear you perfectly.
Okay.
So tell us.
Okay.
So Grandma was strict, but you managed to get out the house. Obviously, acquiesced to $1 million seller.
Well, you know what's going on. It was all of the transitions as far as traveling and the music. See, Grandma, Big Mama, Grandma, she was very supportive of whatever we did, so long as we didn't get in trouble. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me singing in church and, you know, playing the keyboards. I was musical director at the church and all of that. So she was very supportive of whatever we did. My uncle, he was already into R&B soul and singing and doing
mm-hmm.
all of that. So that was mm-hmm. a heavy influence on me anyway as I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So
and what's your uncle's name?
Norman Colquitt. He was very, very good. He was a very good singer. He passed on early,
wow.
But yeah, mm-hmm. but he was very influential for that. But there was never an issue as far as the style of music, because we weren't doing anything that was had, you know, we weren't cursing, we weren't doing anything that had anything to do with love. It was love music, you know, it was what you felt, what people felt.
All right. Well, you know, grandmothers, they keep it real, so they was like, tell it, baby.
That's what it was. You know, she come from church sing your song, son.
Sing your song. Tell the truth and shame the devil. All right, Cliff, how did you transition?
Well, for me, in my household, it's very close to what Eric just said. Both my parents, they supported what I did, and they were behind it. Now, my mom, when she was much, much younger at that time, she played saxophone. And that was like her instrument way back in the day, and she was pretty good at it, from what I understand.
Wow.
And but no, they supported it 100%. And I was always told, "This is what you want to do. We got your back. But when it's come time to make these rehearsals, you have to be good. You have to rehearse. You have to do what you have to do. The same as going to school." And they supported me 150%. And also, I had another gentleman who ended up being one of my mentors, and Marshall knows this person very well, and that was Curtis Mayfield. That was one of my mentors as well. That's right. I learned an awful lot.
Wait. Hold on. See, now I'm going to have to go get my sidekick. I'm going to bring her on. Queen of Diamonds, Daisy Brown, she always helps me hold it down. My sister, say hello to the Notations and Marshall Thompson. I got to bring you in here because he just hit me in the chest. How you doing,
Good
Queen
evening.
Of Diamonds?
I'm fine. Hello, everyone.
Hi,
hey.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm enjoying what I'm hearing, too.
Now, every now and then, someone drops a gem and it hits me hard in the chest. And when you say Curtis Mayfield, you know you're coming back for a Curtis Mayfield tribute show.
No problem.
Okay, you know that, because see, I just had to go pull my co-producer on here so I have a witness. You heard him, Daisy Brown,
yes,
didn't you?
I heard it, yes.
All right. Well, you stay right there, okay? You stay right there. I got witnesses. Okay, Marshall? This man say he worked with Curtis Mayfield. Now, you don't even understand how I feel about Curtis Mayfield. So without going in, because that's another show. That is another show. But you've got to tell me, when did you meet Curtis Mayfield? No, you know what? I can't. I'm not going to even go there right now. So let's get back focused. Hoo-sah. Anyway, so people that influenced you like that, people that orchestrate such, oh my gosh, there is not even a word for the term for the level of music that Curtis Mayfield orchestrated. So when you found yourself in the presence of someone that could turn, go inside of himself and come back with a gift to that level of greatness, was he just Curtis Mayfield, or were you like salivating at the mouth? Because he'd probably be like, girl, get away from me. I can't work around you. He couldn't work around me. I'm just like making him uncomfortable.
But no, what it was that, well, again, we ended up all being friends first. Mm. And we all love music. And I remember the Curtis and the Impressions used to rehearse in an area of Chicago called Cabrini Green in Seward Park. And that's when after I met Curtis, I used to go down into the park where they rehearsed. And also there at that park, I got to meet Jerry Butler and also Major Lance. So all that was just part of...
Stop! Hurting me. You hurting me. Go ahead.
Well,
all of that was a part of...
All that was just a part of growing up in Chicago. So we were all friends. We all did what we could to help each other in any way we could. And I learned a lot from Curtis about the business and so on. And it was another gentleman as well who, his name is Eddie Thomas. I cannot ever have a conversation without mentioning Eddie's name, which was, he was the Impressions manager at that time. And Eddie Thomas and Curtis, those were my main two. But we were all friends. We were all friends.
Wow.
And we learned from each other.
Right on. Now, when you mentioned Curtis Mayfield, before I lost my mind, you prefaced it with mentoring. And every time you speak in terms of the business, you, without using the word business, though, you are speaking business terms. So let's go over to that area that Marshall Thompson knows so well. 90% business, 10% show. Come on now.
That's
Marshall
right,
Thompson,
that's right.
Break it down for them and ask them the question for me, my brother.
Well, that's the reason why Cliff got it made and took care of business, you know, because he knows 90% business, 10% show. You're born with the show, but you got to learn the business, okay? And you got to take away from the show and get into that 90%. And the 90% business what got him in the door, and that's why he got a hit record. I mean, Curtis Mayfield was here, right on the north side of Chicago. Major Lance was there, Jerry Butt was there. Each one, all three of those guys lived in the projects in the same building, along with Squirrel. Same with you. And they were in the same building, and what they did is, Cliff went and got to the right people, just like we had to do with Carl Davis, and Cliff chose to go over to Kirktown Records. And he went over there with the Mastermind guys, and he made it. You got to have power behind you to make it. Everybody can sing in Chicago, but if you didn't have no strength behind you, you still would have just been singing today, and nobody is going to know who you are.
I done told you had to behave on this show. If you talk to me like you talk to me on the phone, I'm losing. It's too funny.
Better get with the right people. And that's what Cliff did. Once he got with the connection people, there you go. Just like Skylight. We had to go another route. I had to go with people at the management office right now in New Jersey. But my manager owned Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, Rita Franklin, Ray Charles, and the Shylights. Okay? So that's why we went to the level that we went. Cliff and them went with Curtis Mayfield, and Eddie Thomas, which was the Impressions manager. And he got out twice. He had a good record, and they knew what to do, and that's why he got out there.
Wow. Now, we always ask our guests in the vein and the theme of the 90% Business, 10% Show to speak to our youth that are getting out there today and drop some gems on them, because to have, you know, million-dollar records, to be relevant and to still be together all of these years later, to come from such a rife and historical background and to do what you do the way you do it, what would you tell our youth? And now we're going to go to Cliff and come back to Eric, because being that you are still in business today, having founded the Notation so many years ago, that 90%, that 10% piece, what would you tell our youth attributes to the staying power and getting it in?
The very first thing has to happen, they have to have that passion to want to do it. And if they got that, then they got to get dedicated. They have to rehearse. It's the same if you're playing on a football team or a basketball team. You got to be at practice. You have to rehearse. Get yourself polished so that when you can be able to hit that stage and you be able to entertain people. So you have to have that passion. You have to dedicate yourself to doing it, and you have to be at rehearsals. You can't be chasing a girl when you should be at rehearsal. Okay, you have to be at rehearsal. And you can't let any negative thing get in your way. I'm sure that all the groups, we've all heard some negative things. Oh, why are you wasting your time doing that? But no, you have to believe in what you're doing and let none of that negativism step in the way, and you just keep pushing forward and things will come.
Amen to that. Amen to
Very
that.
Good.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, Marsha Thompson knows about rehearsal because that's where he is right now. Now, so we don't play. We get it in, though. You know, that's my brother from another. He could be at rehearsal and still run a radio show. They don't call him the godfather of vocal groups for nothing.
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you are tuned in to Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the legendary group, the Shy Lights. We just celebrated his 75th birthday, August 24th. We had the party rocking over here on Tribe Family Channel, where we will be rocking it again tonight. We're going to be listening to I'm Still Here and Just Your Love by the Notations. And they also did a special video that we're going to hear at the conclusion of our show. So now, Eric, speak to our youth and let them know how to stay in the game.
Well, you know, also with the passion that Cliff was talking about, you definitely have to have that. But the first thing you have to do, I believe you pray about everything, you know. So if that's something that's in your heart and you really want to do, you take it to God and see if that's his will, and you go with that. And then once you realize that is your road that you want to do, you have to learn to read. You have to understand that. You need to know how to count your own money. You need to know how to read. Early on, I think that wasn't pushed to a lot of the groups in the prior history, and that's why you hear the stories right now, how many records they've made, how much they've done, but they don't get the credit. They're broke. They didn't get the credit. But they weren't informed that it was a business as well. You know, like I say, 90% business. They weren't informed about that 90% business. They just thought that they could sing their way to riches, and that would be it. And that's why everybody else got rich but them. So they need to learn to read and count your money.
You better say that again. And there is a particular document that Marshall Thompson swears by that you must know, and it starts with a C. What is that document, Marshall? You got to know how to read that what?
You better read that contract.
Contract.
Don't you love them, Davey? Don't let nobody read it to you. Okay.
Don't do like I did when I first started off. They gave me a contract. They say, sign this. I got $50,000 for you. You sign this contract. I ran around the block and told them, hey, my lawyer says sign it now.
Now, and you know what? Marshall had me in stitches because when I first asked him, you know, when you got that check, did you blow it or did you know it? Because, you know, 90% business, 10% show. So you got to know that contract, and you got to, like you said, Eric, you got to know money. Money. My grandmother used to say money count itself. But people will miscount it for you. So now let me ask you about the first $1 million seller. Tell us about I'm Still Here and tell us about Just Your Love. Tell us about the songs that we are going to be going out with. And then I'm going to ask y'all, what did y'all do with the money? Tell me about the songs and then tell me about the money. Tell me about the music and then tell me about the money. Me and Daisy didn't get a dime. What'd they do with the money, Daisy?
They didn't give it to us. We didn't get
Girl,
it.
Girl, we wasn't there. We wasn't there.
No,
but for those that were
Chicago.
There, we want to know.
It's in Chicago.
It's still alive in Chicago. It's up to you, gentlemen. Yeah. So tell us about it.
Well, I'm Still Here was, you know, one of the first songs. You know, that's the first actual song that really got the national airplay and publicity. And that's thanks to all the radio stations across the country, all the disc jockeys that was living at that time, those that are gone on, you know, and all the help that we had from the promoters in the city of Chicago as well, like Eddie Thomas and just on and on, so many guys that helped to push it. When that happened, it was just a huge, you just don't know the feeling. And I'll give you an example. the song was doing very well across the country, and we had been out of town doing some shows, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. WVON was the top station in the city of Chicago at that time.
And are you talking about Herb Kent now?
Well, that, you Herb and a lot of other jocks.
All right,
yeah,
now we'll bring it
on.
Say
on.
It.
And
all
yes,
right, Herb
yes.
Kent, rest
and
in peace.
Was,
cool, Jen, we love you.
That's right. That was my number one. That was the number one station in the city of Chicago during that time. And even Motown had to come here to get their records played. They had to get it on WVON. So anyway,
wow.
We were coming in from Cleveland, Ohio, doing a show. Never forget this. It was a Monday morning, coming down the highway, and we were in the city already, and they had a thing they would do on WVON. Whatever the record was number one for that week, they would always do a commercial, and they always would say, right after the commercial, we're going to give you the number one record in Chicago. And we were just riding. We had like 29-passenger station wagons at the time and a van with all the equipment, so we were on our way home. And after this commercial went off, the first thing I heard was they said, and now number one, one, one. And the first thing I heard was the guitar time still here. Blew our minds. We were hanging out the car window screaming. We were number one. That was one of the most greatest feelings ever. Yes, ma'am. I kid you not. I'm never forgetting.
Oh, my goodness.
And when it hit number one, it stayed number one 2 solid weeks on WVON.
Wow. Wow.
So that was one of the best feelings I ever had, I have to say. And then on down the line, gosh, I would say you don't think about this early on. And in 2015, I got a call from Walt Disney, and it got placed in a feature film starring Kevin Costner called McFarlane USA. It blew my mind again.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah,
go on there and trying to be like, have you seen her? Go ahead now, look at them,
well,
Marshall.
Yeah.
You're growing up. Show them what you're
trying
working with. That's
little,
right.
Trying to catch up.
Yeah.
And
do
then
that.
The last thing about I'm Still Here, I think it was about May 20th or May 18th or 19th, between right in there, I get a call from Snoop Dogg's producer, Battle Cat, and Snoop had took it and put it on his new CD, which is out now, called Never Left. He sampled.
So he just done took it and then call y'all after the fact? I ain't mad at you. Snoop could call me too.
No.
But he call you and ask for permission first?
Yeah, he took care of all that through the lawyers and everything. Everything was did properly. That's my buddy.
No, you know I love Snoop Dogg. That's Marshall Thompson's godson. So
that's
I'm just
right,
wondering, like,
right.
You know, with Snoop Dogg, you know, because he is who he is, Calvin. Now, Calvin could do the song, and then he could do my song and call me later. Okay, he can have his mother Beverly call Daisy and have Daisy
That's
call
right.
me and work that out. I have no problem. So, well, congratulations.
Yeah.
So when Snoop Dogg calls you, it's
yeah.
shut down. You shut it down after that, right?
It was a huge thing. And I just really appreciated that. And he's old school, and just appreciate the fact that he reached out for that song is a huge honor. It truly is.
I'm loving it.
He's 42 years old. So, I mean, to still
Come
be going
now.
Strong, that's a true blessing, and I look at it that way. Yeah, true blessing.
Well, you know, now, if the song, let's look at the song as a woman. Now, Daisy, when I was 42 years old, okay, you couldn't tell me nothing. You couldn't tell me nothing at 52, much less 42. Mm-hmm. So the song is still relevant, okay?
Yes.
Well,
that's
I
good
understand.
To hear.
Yeah, well,
that
I
is so
feel,
good to
I
hear.
I feel the same way, my 42, 52, and 62, and I'm still doing my thing as well.
Well, you know, I haven't arrived at 62, but I tell you what, as beautiful as you are, Queen, I'm going to take your word for it. I want to grow up to be like you.
You'll be fine.
So that is such an honor. So I'm still here. It's being remade. It's making the movie circuit. You all are, you know, still in command. What would you say attributes to that in terms of the level of music? And then I do want to go back to that was Cliff telling me about the breakthrough, right? Okay. I want to go back to Eric when you first heard the song. How did you feel? And then we're going to talk about the money piece. Did you spend it or did you blow it or know it? But go ahead, Eric.
Do you still have any left for us?
So you're real interested in the money piece, huh?
Well, see, I want to know, here's the thing. The reason why I want to know about the money is when we talk about 90% business and 10% show, it's going to tell me whether you knew it or whether you blew it. Now, don't get mad at me, Daisy.
Yeah.
They blew it.
Uh-oh.
Okay, now I'm playing. Go ahead.
Everybody was young. Everybody was young back then. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of real business being thought of at that time anyway, no matter what you were doing. You were excited, just like I said, you were excited just the fact that your music is being played and you're number one. So
come on now.
You're not thinking about business. So you don't think about business till it's
and you're young.
Everybody's getting paid and you're looking around, you're starting to see everybody's getting paid. Then you start thinking, well, you know what? Let's sit and talk about this a little bit now. When you get somebody like the Godfather to pull your coattail and let you know, hey, you need to start taking care of the real business and not just sing, then it makes a difference. When somebody that you've been looking up to all your life and you admire, and then they start pulling you and they take you in and put their arms around your shoulders and say, hey, look, this is what you need to do. You listen. You know.
Come on now. That's that mentoring.
I was just going to say, right quick, Daisy,
there's only, like, I've only heard, like, maybe one testimony on this show in a year where they knew it and didn't blow it. So most people will tell you, I bought this car, I did this, I did that. Hey, woo! Marshall said he hollered out the window. You know, bought a red Cadillac. Didn't you buy a red Eldorado, Marshall?
Yeah, my first car was a red Cadillac.
Now, okay, so he blew it. But you're having fun. You're young. You're making it. And that's what it's about, because you can look back and you can honor your journey because, one is you've produced music that people are reaching and bridging the gap. And I'm so thankful and grateful to hear that testimony right here, because when Calvin Snoop Dogg does that, he is doing that because he is honoring the music that you all have paved the way. And I love that. I love when he went and got George Clinton and put
That's
him
right.
in, you know, I love that. And he probably stayed in Marshall's ear getting some guidance. Right, Godfather, they don't call you Godfather for nothing. He steers the young men. So now, amen. Now, Godfather, did you have any thoughts and words that you want to say to the Notations before we get into this music?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank them for coming on the show. And I told them when we get an opening, we had so many special guests on our show before, Gladys Knight, Brother Bubbles, we had Little Anthony and Imperials, we had the Blue Notes, we had quite a few people on the show, and I'm very glad to get them in and to get a chance for them to hit a new song as well as the million seller they had on the first one. So it's a great push, and fellas, I thank you all for coming on tonight, and you won't regret this one, because your sales will move out with this show.
Amen. You know, amen to that.
We appreciate it very, very much. Me and Martha talk at least once a week or twice a week, so don't worry. Appreciate it very much, man.
Right, we are definitely so honored. I'm very honored when Marshall said who he had on his calendar. I was like, all right, let's roll with it. I'm here. I'm at your feet here learning, and I'm honored too. And so also I want to acknowledge our co-producer, Daisy, Queen of Diamonds Brown. She's always right here helping me hold it down. Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson live on Tribe Family Channel, and we want to thank you for being here. Daisy, did you have any final words for our guests?
Well, I just want to say I enjoy the show very much, the history, because that is what keeps us moving, that we can learn from others' histories, their problems, their successes, and it was just a very interesting conversation. I also wanted to get on that bit about the business part when we were joking, because when you're young and you've got money, you blow it because you just know there's never an end coming. You know, it's more, more, more. And back then, during that time, they just did not work with you, or you did not know any better. But now, you know, with people like Marshall helping to mentor a lot of the young groups, I just pray that they're learning something, watching guys like you all make it and transition and so forth and so on, because that's very important. The song says, look where I came from, look where you brought me from, rather. So if you can see where you came from and where you're going, it's important. So I thank you all for being a part of the show.
Oh, thank you.
And I echo Marshall Thompson and Daisy Brown. Thank you for holding it down with us right here on Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. I'm Beverly Black. I'm the creator of Tribe Family Channel, Gumbo for the Soul International, and I am the Soul School Music sidekick to Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the Shy Lights. Y'all better get up on his schedule. He is traveling the globe. Go see what the Shy Lights where they are appearing at www.chi-lites.info. Hit me up on Twitter or Facebook under Tribe Family Channel. And definitely Daisy Brown is holding it down. She's right there with me on Facebook as well. We want to thank you, gentlemen, for being here. We want to thank our listeners for tuning in. Follow our radio station at blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. We are part of the Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. We're about to go out partying too. I'm Still Here. And the other song, Just Your Love. Tell us about that, the notations, and take the final word.
Well, Just Your Love was a song that was written in 1990. We never did do anything with it. We took it. And Eric, a gentleman named Andre Miller, and he took it and restructured it musically for 2016-2017, and it's one for the ladies.
All right, now.
Hey! She ain't gonna hear no complaints out of us. Wait a minute, okay, Daisy? You ain't gonna hear no complaints out of us. We have had a wonderful time with you, gentlemen, as we always do. Marshall Thompson, the godfather of vocal grooves, the last man standing of the Shy Lights, thank you once again for holding down Soul School Music. We would be remiss not to give our thoughts and prayers to those that have gone through Hurricane Harvey, Irma, and if Jose were to hit the hurricanes, the fires, and the earthquakes. We give our thoughts and prayers to all of you, and we send our sentiments to the stylistics who had a home going for their dearly departed yesterday. And Daisy, you can tell our listeners about that, and then we're going to go ahead and close with the music.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank everyone who attended the services. It was a memorial service for Deborah Ewings, who was road manager for the Stylistics and also tour manager for the 70 Soul Jam. The service was a beautiful one. It was well attended with several of the groups represented. And I'm going to miss my sister drastically. But I just want to thank everyone once again who took time out, sent their letters in, their sentiments of love, because Deborah was a very wonderful person, and she will be greatly missed out here on this road. And I'm praying for the family and asking you to keep them in prayer as well.
And our thoughts and prayers go out to all of them. And in the words of the notations, we perceive Deborah to be saying, I'm still here, baby.
I'm still here.
Have a good one. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Telling you so long, I'm still here, baby. After saying that I'd be gone, now maybe I was just talking out of my head. Oh yeah, your love don't resist me.
Tragedy in the Shalites. Last year I lost my wife in a car accident coming home from a tour. So we decided to record this song. This is her, one of her favorite songs. So I had the pleasure to go in the studio and record it. Now, of course, my wife was from Forest, Mississippi. Y'all heard of the Strong? The Strong family, huh? But she's looking down on all of us today from the Kingdom of Heaven. I dedicate it to you. show you the way, gotta show you the way, yeah.